in our study of Matthew's account of the Sermon on the Mount. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. If you've missed some of these, they are online, and we can give you a CD, so be sure and check with someone else. I think last week's was especially anointed. It was the Lord. I'm not taking credit for that. We talked about just you know, this really is, it could be called genuine Christian living. You know, Jesus said that the wise man built his house on a rock and the foolish man built it on sand. And he said, if you hear what I'm teaching you and do what I say, then you're the wise man. And he said this right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. It's pretty much like the Sermon on the Mount is the equivalent in the New Testament to Moses' Ten Commandments from Mount Horeb in the Old Testament. And so in here, in these few chapters, is basically how to be wise as a Christian and how to live your Christian life. And I'm surprised at how many people miss some of these things. I mean, these should be like 101, Christianity 101. Amen? So without belaboring that anymore, let's get into the Word. Matthew 7, 1, judge not that you be not judged. I think the reason why a lot of people are turned off to Christianity is because there are so many variations and opinions about things. I've had many people say, well, you guys can't ever agree on anything. Why would I want to be a Christian? Isn't that sad? And, you know, we can disagree, but we should be able to agree to disagree. Amen. You know, really, the basic tenets of faith is Jesus died on the cross for me, and that's all I need to know. You know, everything else is secondary, you know. And so we're not to judge. We're not to judge people. We're not to criticize people. In fact, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. Amen. Now, the Pharisees asked Jesus the two great commandments. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, when I love my neighbor as myself, I will never criticize him. I'll never gossip about him. I'll never slander him. I'll just love him. Because I wouldn't want anyone to do that to me. Amen. I wouldn't want someone doing that to me, so I shouldn't do that to them. I should just love them. Amen. And that's what it's all about. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, I'm sure a few of you have been around here for a while. You've heard me use this illustration. But when I was growing up, my mother's sister, my Aunt Judy Jackson, my uncle, her husband, they were in the Air Force, and they traveled all over. And they came back from Okinawa, and they gave my mother a gift. It was a giant wooden fork and a giant wooden spoon. How many of you guys ever seen those? They hang on the wall in the kitchen, hand-carved, little etchings down the long giant spoon and fork. And so all the time growing up through high school, hanging in the kitchen in my mom's house was this giant wooden spoon and giant wooden fork. Contrast that big wooden spoon with one of those little white stirring sticks that you get at McDonald's. It's not even a spoon. It's like a little paddle. Little flat rectangle paddle. And imagine trying to fill a big jar with creamer with that little teeny paddle. How many scoops would that take? What do you get? Like 12 granules on that thing at a time? You could be there for hours. You could be there for days. Then imagine if the bucket was big enough, you could stick that big old giant wooden spoon in there. And just you'd probably just dump it over the top of the edge of the jar, and in one scoop, you could fill that jar and then some. Now, this is what Jesus is talking about when he says, with what judgment you're judged and with what measure you use, it will be measured to you. So if you measure love with a big spoon, you'll get love back with a big spoon. But if you give love with a little teeny McDonald's paddle, guess how much you're going to get back? The same amount. Amen? And so we need to make sure, whether we're doing good or bad, and hopefully good, that everything that we want done to us, we do to the same level. Not just that we do it, but we do it with the same zeal we'd want coming back to us, with the same volume, with the same enthusiasm. Amen? With what measure you measure to others, it'll be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Do you realize that there would never be church splits? There would never be wars. There would never be, you know, race riots. There would never be any of these things if everyone would just consider their own faults first. If everyone would just look at their own self first instead of looking at others. Can you imagine what this world would be like if we actually could really, honestly, truly live this verse? You know, it's scary to me when I step behind the pulpit and I know how do I say this? I know me. I know my faults. I know my weaknesses. I know my sins. I know all of those things. You guys don't know those. I know them. The Lord knows them. But God chooses to use earthen vessels. And I think that's probably one of the biggest problems in ministry is that sometimes, and I've said this before, people start taking themselves too seriously. Anytime you're in ministry, you can never take yourself too seriously because we are just vessels, amen? And so I'm nothing, you're nothing, we're nothing. You know, when John saw the angel in the book of Revelation and he fell down and he started worshiping, he said, "Don't worship me, I'm your fellow servant, worship God." You know? There's only one person we look up to, and that's God. And all the rest of us are servants of each other. Amen? And so we got to get the mote out of our own eye. We got to do that first. How can we say to our brother, let me remove the speck from your eye and not look at the plank in your own eye? And then Jesus, in Jesus' classic way, screams, "Hypocrite!" You know, you don't hear that too much, but maybe it needs to be said more. When I don't look at my faults and begin to judge others, I am being hypocritical. I'm a hypocrite. That's what a hypocrite is. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So the whole thing about hypocrisy is about not working on yourself, working on others. When I was in Abilene, Texas, in the Air Force, there was a little lady, civil service worker, next door to the admin section where we were. The colonel's office was here, and I was the NCOIC of the admin section, and I don't remember, she was like the librarian type thing. She had all those just rows of books, and she was old, and she was Lutheran, and she was cranky. That's all I remember. And I'm not trying to criticize her. I'm just demonstrating that she was dogmatic about things. And if there was any laughing going on, she would come around the corner and say, "Can't you guys be quiet? I'm trying to work in here." You know. And you know, people who are dogmatic, who are critical, do you think people want to go, "Oh, I want what she has. I want to be like her. I want the Jesus she has," right? And so, no. That's the problem with being dogmatic and critical, is that you become, you know, I guess you can't see my expression on the recording. You just become hard to live with. And people say, if that's Christianity, I don't want any part of that. And I guess that's why I joke around a lot, because, you know, to me, God is love. And if I can't love, I don't have anything to give. Amen. Now, Jesus moves on. In verse 6, he says, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn and tear you in pieces." Now, what the Lord's talking about here, have you ever tried to witness to someone and talk to them about the Lord and they don't want to hear it? You know, that's what he's talking about here. If someone is close to it, you don't need to keep doing this. And the illustration Jesus gives is pretty graphic. You know, the gospel, the message of the cross, is the power to save someone from hell. It is a pearl of great value. No one would take a $10,000 pearl necklace and give it to pigs to stomp in the mud. And this is a very graphic illustration, but basically, when someone is closed to the gospel and they don't want to hear it, it's not your responsibility to save them. Jesus did it all at the cross. If you try and they don't want to hear it, he said, don't do it again or they will turn on you. Just, they want to go to hell, let them go to hell. And that sounds cruel, but you can't save them. Only Jesus can. You can pray for them, and you should, but don't keep trying to witness to someone that doesn't want to hear it. They just don't want to hear it. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. I think it's interesting that immediately following this, don't give what's holy to the dogs, then we get to prayer. Because what I cannot do with my voice to the person, I can do with my voice to God. Amen? I can pray and pull down strongholds. I can pray and change someone's heart. I can pray and pull blinders off of their heart so that a person who's forever been closed to the gospel, all of a sudden, one day, they could be open. The power of prayer. And so immediately after this, Jesus says, ask and it'll be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. Now, if you ever forget how this verse reads, you could take the first letters to ask, seek, and knock. And it spells ask, right? Ask, seek, and knock. I don't know if that happens in Hebrew or if that was just a coincidence in the English language. But everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door is open. Now you might say, well, I've asked and I've not received. Oh, really? How do you know that? See, sometimes we receive and we don't know we received. Sometimes we ask for things and God gives us the answer, but it may not be the answer you want. Sometimes God's ways are not our ways. In the epistle of James, he said, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, consuming it upon your own lust. Sometimes the thing you're asking for is the worst thing in the world that you could be given. Oh, I wish I had $1 million. I wish I won the lottery. And you know, David said, Lord, let me never be so poor that I steal and never be so rich that I forget God. And, you know, money can do things to people. Now, there are some people who can handle it. There's some people who can't. And God knows if you're that person. If you're not that person, I hope you win $1 million. Amen. So, everyone who asks receives. For what man is it among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? I love this because Jesus constantly reminds us that the God that we knew in the Old Testament is our Heavenly Father. We see him as a burning bush that Mount Horeb was shaking and in flames when Moses was there. And the ground opened up and Damon and his men were swallowed. And we see God as this giant lightning bolt ready to zap us. And then after the cross, Jesus presents God in a whole new way because the price for sin has been paid. And in Christ, I am adopted into the family of God. And now this fiery God of the Old Testament is my daddy. Isn't that beautiful? And he said, if your fathers who are evil can give a good gift to your son, Think about some of the great gifts you've gotten over the years growing up, something your dad gave your mom or something on your birthday. If they could give you good gifts, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Notice, again, it's those who ask. God wants you to ask. He's waiting for you to begin to ask God for things. In the prayer of Jabez, we read that Jabez, who was basically an outcast of society. Have you ever felt like an outcast of society? In the Old Testament, Jabez was basically scorned as an outcast of society. But he prayed and he asked God to expand his borders. And God gave him what he asked. Amen. You have not because you ask not. And Jesus said, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And again, there it is, the golden rule. Remember, this is how to build your house on the rock, isn't it? It's to treat people the way you want to be treated. It's to whatever you would want someone to do to you, do to them. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Now he goes on to say, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it, beware of false prophets. Now, I want to just stop there for a minute because so often these verses are read apart, and I wanted to include that. There are many voices in the body of Christ today. Many, many voices. And you probably have favorite television ministers like I do, certain people you like, certain people you don't. But none of that can compare to spending time in the Word and prayer and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you. Because deception is so subtle. Amen. In the Garden of Eden, the devil showed up to Eve, and it says that he was the most cunning of all creatures in the garden. Look at your neighbor and say, cunning. Amen. Sneaky, devious, deceptive, subtle, very subtle. And he used God's word and he twisted it. I think that this whole narrow, wide way isn't talking about grotesque sins, you know, like don't go to the movies, wear your hair in a bun. You know, I mean, you know, you could go on and on about all of the religious things that people interpret. I think he's talking about being careful with all of these voices. There's so many voices. There's such a broad way. The narrow way still comes down to the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's not to make us feel guilty. Oh, I shouldn't go bowling. This is the broad way. I need to go the narrow way. I'll stay home and hum and pray and chant, or, you know, it's about staying true to the bedrock of God's word. Amen. If I didn't have to do anything to get saved, then I don't have to do anything to stay saved. You know, the old songs of Amazing Grace, grace has brought me here thus far, and grace will take me home. Don't you love that? If grace had to get me from out there to in here, don't you think grace can get me from here to there? Amen? And so this whole Broadway is, I used to teach this to children's church. I used to say, you know, and the Broadway is video games, and the Broadway is this and that, and you can play them, but don't love them more than Jesus, you know. And I would make these kids go home, oh, I better not play my video game, you know. And then the Lord one day showed me, you know, there's nothing to do with external things. Has to do with deception of the truth. Amen? The truth of the cross of Jesus Christ. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes and figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Now, we're not talking about speaking Christianese. Glory to God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. You know, one time back when when what's the hamburger joint that used to be where the Chinese restaurant was? I just went blank. Right next to where you live, Jonay. The trailer. Goldie's. Yeah, back when Goldie's was there. I just got a phone that had Bluetooth, and someone Bluetoothed me this MP3. I don't even know who it was. And it was Medina or whatever, and it said, "Glory to God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Leave a message at the sanctified beep. If this is a bill collector, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." I don't know if someone knew me and sent it to me anonymous. I'm walking through the crowd of Goldie's, and all of a sudden I get this message that someone sent me this MP3. Isn't that crazy? We can sure speak Christianese, can't we? But Jesus said, you won't know them by all of their glory, God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. You'll know them by their fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. All those other attributes in Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit are subsets of love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And out of love comes joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Fruit of these is love. It all comes back to love. If you love someone, you know that they are walking close to God because you see the love in their life. You'll know them by their fruit. Every good tree bears good fruit. Every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree can't bear bad fruit. Neither can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Now, Jesus is saying something that John the Baptist said in his ministry. Remember when he was preaching repentance in the wilderness and the Pharisees came? And you know, the Pharisees were their favorite target. John the Baptist, Jesus, you know, crosshairs, you know, oh, here comes one of them, I'm going to shoot them, you know. But, of course, the word was what they were shooting. And John the Baptist, you know, he called them vipers and hypocrites, and how can you not escape the fires of hell? And he said, the axe is laid into the root, and every tree that doesn't bring forth fruit is good for nothing but to be cut off and cast into the fire. Men know you by your fruit. And the Pharisees were very religious, but they would rather see a woman have her head bashed in who was caught in the act of adultery rather than love her and forgive her. Amen. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. I believe that God has a perfect will for everybody. I believe he has many permissive wills for people who've missed it the first time. I believe he has a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, a plan D, a plan E. That's right, until you finally get on the right track and you, oh, well, I made plan C. I guess I'm okay, you know. He's able to work with us in spite of ourselves, in spite of ourselves. Amen. But not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not about what you say. It's about what you do. It's about doing God's will. Amen. Back in the 1980s, the Lord spoke to me while praying for a Bible study on a Friday night in Abilene, Texas, and said, get out of the Air Force, go to Tahlequah, continue your grandmother's work. I began to cry. Lord, I plan on staying in the Air Force. Go. What will my wife think? Go. Who am I? Go. You know, there's been times where it's just been Eddie and I here, and the church will grow, and then we'll have some people leave, and then it'll grow, and maybe some other people leave. And, you know, I mean, I want to see the church full, but whether I preach to empty chairs or not, this is not about me. It's about doing what God called me to do. Amen. Years ago, there was a big outreach at the rodeo grounds before we even started Faith Fellowship, and I was involved with another church doing some ministry there, and they brought this lady in from Arkansas. Man, she was a fiery Pentecostal woman, and they had a band. I'm trying to remember the name of it. I mean, they were heavy metal, Jesus-loving people. They were cool. And you know what she said to me? I may have been right when we were starting Faith Fellowship. She said, you're not fit to preach it unless you can preach to empty chairs. I said, wow, I'll have to remember that. I've got to apply that many times. And so it's not about what I say, Lord, Lord. It's about doing God's will for your life. And whatever God's will for your life is, you need to do it till Jesus comes. No matter how discouraged you may get, no matter how physically tired you may get, No matter how disappointed sometimes you may be, you keep going until you cross that finish line, because it will all be worth it someday. Amen. Hallelujah. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Lawlessness. I could preach a sermon on that, but I won't. I'll just leave that alone. I think the text speaks for itself. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain descends, and the floods come, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Is your foundation in the bedrock of God's word? Do you purpose in your life to follow God's word? Are you trusting in who you know, what you can say, or are you just trusting in God's word? I tell you, people will come and go, ministries will come and go. God's word remains. Amen. God's word remains. Back in the, trying to remember the era, I guess it was the late 1800s in Europe, became very popular to criticize Bible thumpers, and they were reaching an age of enlightenment. Educated men were writing papers like Voltaire. And they were saying things like, oh, Voltaire said, this old dusty book won't even be around in 100 years other than in some dusty old museum. When Voltaire died, the nurse that was caring for him, and he had sold his works for thousands of dollars. The nurse that was caring for him heard him say before he died, no, 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 the Nazarene, the Nazarene. And she said, for all the wealth of Europe, I would not see another infidel die. And 100 years after Voltaire made his proclamation, there would be no Bible other than some dusty old museum, the Gutenberg Bible sold for over $1 million. And the house he made that declaration in became a printing press for the distribution of Bibles. They said it would pass away. They passed away. It remains. How sure a foundation. How sure a foundation. So whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'll liken to him as a wise man who builds his house on the rock, and the rains descend and the floods come and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain descends and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended the saying that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And so, as we close tonight, coming up, Nola, as we close tonight, I would like to sing, and I think you know this, Nola. It's an old song we used to sing back in our younger days. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. Remember that?
I do.
All right. They'll know we're Christians by our love. Let's all stand, shall we?
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity will one day be restored, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, and they'll know.
Okay, you got it? Let's sing it again.
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity will one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Father, we thank you tonight that we have a sure foundation, bedrock of your word. We pray, Lord, that we would not just be hearers of the word, but that we would meditate on these last three chapters that we went through, and that you would help us to remember them, to apply them, to walk in love, to treat people the way we want to be treated, and Lord, to build our house upon that rock. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.